This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 1 p.m., 1 hour to go. You're on the air. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Good. I was holding on here so long that I actually forgot what
dear.
I was about to say. But this, I'm easy close now to 92.
This is my friend.
Used to talk to you.
You blanked me, man. You know, come back. I'm taking you back, though. I'm taking you back with open arms.
I want to ask this question, mm-hmm. and then I want to give the stocks man some history. Because he feels that he know everything in Barbados. They do not know. There's nothing that he don't know. So I'm going to give him some history. Let him know that this 91-year-old man here would inform him that Sir Grantley Adams was never a Prime Minister of Barbados. One, Sir Grantley Adams went for a party before he formed the Barbados Labour Party. Two, and my last question, this is my question now. Mm-hmm. This money that is given out by Sandy Lane, it is to help everybody in Barbados, or it is to help who supported the party? Could you answer me that question?
As far as I understand it, sir, it's to help persons who are under privileged, people who are the most vulnerable in these areas and can be better identified by the MPs.
That means I can't get any help.
Listen to what I'm saying. Regardless of how... You see, there comes a time and there's a... And I respect your age and you know I respect you 100%. But truth be told, and I remember sitting at home and hearing, I think it was the minister, MP Glenn Clark, explaining how it works, what happens. There are some people who are not for it. Some people figure that an MP... shouldn't. But here's my thing. If you voted, then you need to either decide you don't trust MPs and you don't vote. And if you vote, then understand that that's who you voted in to represent you, which means you're going to have to trust their judgment. That's how I see it. They cannot, or should I say should not, go and knock on their houses and to only who voted for them. And I'm pretty much sure if that happened, Bajans will say something. Somebody will say, look, these houses in this area or this particular area that didn't win a box or whatever did not come at my door. So I think they're helping everybody as much as they possibly can. And they have to have one of the stipulations is that they must have children under the age of 18 and no one working in the household. I'm saying that there's some stipulations for how that... those vouchers are distributed. Here's the thing about that. We need to thank Sandy Lane, first of all. Trust has done a lot in Barbados over the years.
Thank you.
So let's just be clear on that. If they choose to hand it to the MPs and the MPs give it to the people and the people get it, let's leave that right there. We got so much more to worry about in a COVID environment that once the people get the vouchers, that's the important part. If they're not getting, then we have an issue. All right. I want to thank you so much. You finish with me? All right. He is. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you start with that. I was cut out this night. I didn't know what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a caller calling before talk about the black girls staying with black, you know? And mm-hmm. I used to tell myself that day, right? But mm-hmm. even you really look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got some black people that ain't want to spend black people. A black person got a store open and he ain't got no special, right? And he probably was got the price high. The other people was got specials and the price low.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you say, staying with black, you got to look at it from a different perspective. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a black guy, but mm-hmm. you got to look at it from a different perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, too.
But what perspective should you look at it from?
An open perspective. I mean, like an open book. Don't just look at the cover or look at the back. Look straight, read straight through the book. Some people is going to a bookstore just when you want to read the heading in a book. They say, that's the book. Now, I don't want to read that book quite. It sounds bad. You understand? You got to read the book. You got to know what's in the middle of the book. Beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a story. But some people don't want to do that. But what I mean to say, right? A lot of us don't want to hear about the past. Oh, that is the past. That happened in the past. Then how you want to know? Then how you want to go now in the future? This time now in the future? You don't know what happened in the past. Right? You don't want to know what happened in the past. And right now, what's going on now? And what's going on in the future? Are you seeing that happening in the past? It's like a cycle. We're repeating itself. It's just a year changing, 2020. By the 1600s, we are repeating ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you with the repeating ourselves. It's like a vicious cycle. It just keep happening over and over and over again. Don't you think it's time that we look and see what we did and see what we could do different?
Yes, it is true. It is true, but we have some hard-headed elders out there, you know? They ain't come around saying, oh, they had it hard that time, so the youth got it hard that time. You know? I mean, it's not like... A guy told me today, they're not white person in Parliament. I tell you, yeah. Then he can't tell me, but the body that holding your strength might be white. I laugh, I say, it could be true too. You know? But I mean, like, this black and white thing.
How do we change it? How do we change the, not only just the narrative, but the actions? What do you think we need to do first?
We got to know the history.
But I think we know our history, but we knowing our history, like, ain't help us.
Listen, I saw a lot of photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Robert Street, Bridgestone, all those places on there. That mm-hmm. a lot of black phones. That had a lot of black stores. But when you go to any town now, you will see, you will hardly see any black phone stores. And you will ask any person, what really happened? Or the people sell, what the people sell, let me know. You know what I mean? Let me know.
They probably sell because they're not making any money.
Why they ain't making any money?
But you see, that's the other thing too. Why is that a black man can't say three races set up three stores?
Yeah.
All three selling shoes, for example.
Yeah.
White, Indian, and black. Black man ain't making no money. Now, a note, this is in a predominantly black country, all right?
Yeah.
Black man set up. He says, you know what? I give up. Nobody ain't buying my shoes. Indians and whites now decide that they're going to compete against each other and they stay open. Why is the black man closing? Why isn't he? Is it that he's not getting support, or is he's not putting in the additional work to do marketing and be competitive?
Marketing is one, and most of the time he stubborn to it. I've been to Indian stores, white man stores, black people stores, and if I look at the shirt, say the shirt costs $20, right? I said, bargain man, I say I want to buy three of those or four of those shirts. I could get them at 15, right? I would tell the black guys, the black store person that, Man, I buy these shirts, we say, for $20 each. You know what I mean? I say, okay, cool. I go to any man's store now, or white man's store now.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the man now, the same thing. I can get that 15. Come, man. You at 15. Mm-hmm. I give you 40 at 15. Mm-hmm. I give you 5 at 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boom, and it worked. That is how business get.
I'm glad you said what you said, because you're absolutely, you hit the nail on the head.
I mean, I 43. I never had no small business. I mean, it's known because I like history. I love history. Just like land. Black people own land. They may want to keep the land for the children or the grandchildren. They sell it out. Right? They sell it out. I know the Indians got the land and building the apartments and everything. Black people vet. You tell a young black boy that his father got land. Well, you don't go build a house and save some money and build an apartment. Man, I got the time for them, so. But then when his father said he land, right, and in the man buy it, and he building apartments, says all sort of thing, oh, the government only working for the Indians and all sort of thing. You know, if you want
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think right? We got to carry some responsibility for some things, and I know they said some. We got to take the responsibility for some things that don't happen for us. Why is it that Rihanna is where she is? It means it's doable. Or people like people may not want me to mention Oprah because some people think that she's too white, but the point is she's a black woman. And there are a lot of black actors, right, yeah. There are a lot of black businesses here that yeah. still in business. Let's take yeah. Jose. Jose, yeah. for example, he's still in business. And yes, and correct. He started out in Bushall. And then I heard people mention about the Alcox and the Leacox and the Brankers and so on and so forth. They, you know, so we know that there are some black successful businesses out there. And before we take a break, I want to make a correction. I have it from a reliable source that the minister indeed that visited the mental hospital was indeed Minister Blackman and not Cattle. So it's Minister Blackman. 13 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, this is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I want to touch on a couple points. We need praise control officers, nor minister by himself with his other responsibilities can do an adequate job on going and checking praises. You know, in boxing, there was a technique they used to call telegraphing your blows. When you telegraph your blows, you get knocked out. You understand? They know you're coming. That is a warning to them. And they can prepare themselves. That is point one.
I still don't understand that, sir. If they prepare themselves, it doesn't take away from printouts of what obtained before, what happened before.
Listen, what we need to do is to put control prices on some of these goods, especially ones that the poor purchase. And we need to deal with these unscrupulous prices that you get out there. Example, corned beef, $6.95. You think that is fair? And you can go other places and get it for $3.45.
But sir, before you go on, I understand that the only thing that is price control is gasoline products here.
Have to go back there to protect the poor people. They are taking advantage of us at all levels of commerce. Did I tell you?
Maybe we can go right back to the port then, to the duties of the said goods, and then look at it from there, and then see what the markups would be reasonably priced. So it's not just the retailers, it's just not just them. It's all, no, I'm saying there are other factors that would contribute to prices. Taxes would be one of them, obviously. So I remember back in the days, the old brass tax days, Tony Marshall used to just preach this one. He always said, look at the port first, see what's happening there with the taxes before we can speak about prices and stuff like that. It starts there. What are the taxes? What is it people have to pay out? Now, there are some people who don't have to that extent, when they buy a bottle of jam for like a dollar, and I don't think they could pay all them taxes that the jam now is $20 on the shelf. That's where it becomes ridiculous. So I agree with you. I've seen it. We've seen it during COVID at a time where in a pandemic, and then people are going to tell me about supply and demand. And I'm saying, Kadir, there still has to be a level of decency, you know, when one is doing that.
Exactly. All right, let me ask you a question now. chicken mm-hmm. was supposed to be reduced. Up to now, I personally have not heard of the reduced price of poultry products in Barbados. I heard of the ban of chicken parts, but I went in the supermarket up to Thursday or Friday, and I asked a supervisor, well, why are your prices still so high? Do you know that, you know, chicken was supposed to be reduced? He said, I don't know nothing about that. And, you know, I said, well, that is what is happening. And I found out that nobody knows, the people that I've asked, no one knows what is the reduced price of chicken. You understand? And we had this fanfare that we got a glut and we have to do this and do that and the price will come down. No. This is a big cat and mouse game where consumers, to my mind, are exploding.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, I do understand. Thank you so much. I want to read this WhatsApp message because it's something that I agree with here. This gentleman here is saying it's not just knowing the past, it's to learn from the past and not dwell on the past. In other words, if you're at the bottom of a well, do you need to keep saying I'm at the bottom of the well? But rather, how do I get myself out of this well? And he's right. Sometimes I worry about history. I worry about what is taught, even though we need to know our history. But do we just leave it there? And then for Black people to feel angry over all of these stories without sharing all of the good stories in terms of how far we've come, and how do we accomplish, and how do we empower ourselves and the respect that is due. So sometimes with history, the million-dollar question is, do we keep talking about it all the time? And at what point do we stop? Now, I heard Morgan Freeman, a Black actor, said this in an interview when they asked him what he thought the solution was. His answer was, stop talking about it. Now, I don't fully agree that you stop talking about it, but it depends on how you do it. If you keep harping on the past and keep, oh me, oh my, I've been oppressed, but then don't do something about it, like make sure that we march and force governments to change legislation so that people can be held more accountable for their actions, if it's race-driven or just police brutality in general. Those are the steps that we have to take. So it's interesting that he should mention that, because you do learn from your past, and you're supposed to learn from it. You're not supposed to live in it. But I want to thank you so much for that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Miss Higg.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
The person that said the Black man was the person who told you to catch it was indeed correct. He told it a morning about 1 o'clock in the a.m., that is.
Okay. Yes, we cleared that one up from someone who I trust and know that, yes, I got the correct information.
I'm going further with it, ma'am, because he didn't tell you everything. I found patients sleeping on the cold concrete, and by weekend, every patient had a bed. All right, this is for NASA now. This is for NASA, Mohammed Nasser. I want to tell Mohammed Nasser that if you divide all the money in the world, let's say the world had in $25 trillion, just using ballpark figures, the world had in $25 trillion and 7 billion people. And you divide that $20 trillion among the 7 billion people, you know, in short order, the people that was rich is going to be rich again, and the people that was poor are going to go up poor. You ever hear about that?
I'm listening.
That is research that was done by university, not by me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to tell Mohammed Nasser that all we spend with Black people can take the money and put it in the banks and accumulate and build and build and build on the bank. And they can look to expand nothing with the money that they're making. So my favorite thing is to say that would be an exercise in futility. If you can spend all your money with Black people, and Black people can take the money that they make to expand their business and open other businesses where other Black people can benefit from, that's what you want. But you don't want Black business to get money and then take the money and put it in the bank. And then other Black people would suffer as a result, because the Black people that got the money and put it in the bank will have it there. The bank will be making money off it, and nobody else will benefit.
Or put it into the boss program.
Yeah.
If you're a government worker.
Yeah. I would like to hear the Prime Minister say that she would give pensioners some opportunity to get into that boss. I would be one.
I believe that there's going to be phase two. I'm thinking this is phase one. I asked a question earlier. I didn't get anyone biting on it who may know, but if no one goes in the program, if no one, they'll still be, they declare that they want their money now, according to how they say, give you my money now, I don't want bonds. How does that allow for fiscal space if it is that you have to still pay it out? How does it allow for fiscal space, and can it lead to a possible devaluation? In other words, it's important for people to come on board, not only to give the government fiscal space, but to benefit from the 5%. I'm sure if you have a wedding or baby shower, or you're saving towards something that you want, you can save, and then you can get your 5%. And I will add, without calling names of things that you spend money on, there may be some things that you have a recurring expense that you don't need to have. So you may decide that $25 that you are putting towards something, an organization, you may not want to do that anymore. You could put it in and then say, okay, I want my money there. And even with tithes for the church, do you know that you could still give the church your money if you choose to, but put it in for the BOSS program, and then at the end of the 6 months, give the 5% then to the church and accumulate. So if that's your thing, in other words, there's so many different benefits. But my concern was, if nobody does it, if only 1%, bonds will still be issued, but where is the money going to come from? Is it that we're going to print it?
People like me,
Joanne,
that will buy shares.
No, I understand. I'm totally for the program, and I think it should step outside with the public work, government workers. But right now, as it stands, and somebody says, if there are 100 government workers and 99 of them say, I want my money now, you still have bonds. The bonds are still being issued to create fiscal space, but where does the money of the value of the bonds come from? I'm just curious. I don't know. I'm a layman. I don't know these things. I can't even balance a checkbook. So I'm asking.
But John, let me say this to you before you go. Mm-hmm. Let me say this to you quickly before you go.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the BOSS program.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I like about it is that as opposed to the government going outside of Barbados to borrow money and give 5% interest to people that we don't really know, why not do what they're doing, and they will get the same money they want, maybe not as much, but they will get enough money to give them some fiscal space, and at the same time, the 5% would stay in the country to give it.
Correct. To the I agree. But if the PR, let me call it the PR, if the communication ain't convincing enough, in other words, I just sat down and I said, look, there are things that you may want that when you leave your money in the bank, you don't get that kind of interest, just 5%. Little things, it's like your meeting turns, as they call it. And now people are saving for the meeting turns and say, listen, my meeting turn coming soon, so I can get this and I can get that. So similarly with the BOSS program, you say every month, I leave my money, I want bonds, I want to save. Because you're saving towards something. Let me finish. You're saving towards something, and I think that is fantastic. It's an excellent program. My question is, if we do not convince the government workers to jump on board, because some people may claim they don't have the disposable income to do it. Some people may say, I want my money now. Now, the bonds are still going to be issued, but how does that equate to fiscal space if the money coming out to the worker and nothing is going in a savings, but in the form of a bond, how does the bond then translate into cash? Do we print or do we go into devaluation if the program is not successful? I don't know. Is he Dennis shaking his head here because it was asked? I don't know. I'm a layman. I was asking the question. The bonds are still going to be issued. Let Dennis guide me here because I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
For those who may want to know.
Dennis the banker.
Let me try to help you through this. I have done this exercise before. I did it on air. And I want you to take the figures down and do the calculation down there while I speak. I'll show you how it works. You have 1,000 people who get $1,000 every month. So you have $1 million that you have to pay out every month. What you've done is you've asked your workers to either take $750 in cash and $250 in bonds, or take the $1,000 in cash. So you have 750 employees who say, I want my cash. So instead of paying $1 million, you now pay $750,000. Right?
Get that.
Good. 250 of your employees have taken 750 in cash and they've taken 250 in bonds, right? So you multiply 750 by 250, you get 187,500. You add that to the 250,000. You have 483,500 that you paid out, 983,500 instead of $1 million. You've saved $62,500. But you still have 750 bonds at 250 each that you will now sell to Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Sheep, Br'er Cow, Br'er Ram, whomever.
That's the answer I was looking
whomever.
For. What happens?
And they now give you the 187,500 plus the 62,500. On your books, you have saved $250,000. It's called creative accounting. That's what it is. And that's how you have this fancy word you're using. I don't know what it is. I'm not an economist. I don't have a fiscal space. I just know that you have reduced your wages bill from $1 million to $250,000 less. The other way you're talking about trying to sell bonds to everybody, Dr. Greenidge said on four occasions, they're not looking for money. What they want is that difference on your books, a reduction in your wages bill. The only way you could do it is by this design that they've done.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, caller. Well, I hope I asked, because for me, as I told, I can't hear the caller. I think he's your volume is a bit down. Yes, I can hear you now.
So let me just say this, and I'm going to go, and then you can be gone. All I'm saying is that, as opposed to getting, Dennis, you don't understand this, talk about fiscal space. I understand it, and I'm not an economist. But all I'm saying is that, as opposed to going and borrowing money outside of this country, you get the money from the workers, and instead of giving the money, if you borrow it from the outside lending institutions, and you get it from the local people get an interest, and the money will stay in the economy. That's all he's saying.
Okay, well, want to thank you. I want to thank Dennis, because as I said, the program is a good program, but I sat down and go like, okay, so if all these people decide that they don't want this money, what's going to happen? The bonds are still going to be issued. How do they have value then after that? Then you sell them to, I guess, credit unions and other entities that can afford. So the government is a win-win situation for everybody. I probably just can't wait until the people in the private sector know. See, this is where when you miss your government job, okay, you're not eligible. But maybe one day I will be. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 1:30. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, Joy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, first thing first, before you say anything else, right, before you say anything at all, I want to say thank you to you, Dennis, the entire staff, right, in Brass Tacks. You guys do a phenomenal job. You people are very hard to come by, and regardless of what people talk, y'all make a significant contribution to people's opinions, and you point people in the right direction and sometimes solve problems for people.
Well, I thank you on behalf of the team.
All right. Next thing, I heard you guys talking about Black history and stuff like that, right? No, have you ever read a book called 100 Amazing Things About Black People?
Say that again?
100 Amazing Things About Black People.
No.
Okay, it's a book, you should read that book, right?
In terms of I know, but the accomplishments of 100 Black people and who designed what and who was responsible for what. I saw that one, if you mean the same thing. Yeah.
Right. So when we talk about history, and, you know, I heard you guys say, you know, if you know where you come from, you know exactly where you're going and stuff like that, right? But they don't teach the right history in school. They don't teach the children anything that will really inspire them to want to or push them to, you know, to really want to learn history and be better and be more, you know, and move forward as a black people. Because as I said before, we need a black dollar. We need to support each other's business. We need support. I mean, I ain't saying that we're not supposed to be racist. No. Black lives matter. Everybody life matter. Straight up, right? But us black people being at a disadvantage forever, right? We should read books like Message to the Black Man by Marcus Garvey. They Came Before Columbus by Ivan Van Sertima, right? There's a book called A People's History of America from 1492 to Present. It talk about Barbados in that book. How General George Washington used to trade delinquents or hardiers, enslaved people back to Barbados for molasses and or rum. When he wanted to impress other government heads, right? When we teach children about these things, I try to teach my children about them, right? Marcus Garvey especially is a good example, right? In his time, it was supposed to be impossible for him to own anything. and the things that he achieved in his life and how he lost it all. We're supposed to learn from these things and build on these things. Right? So people that will be saying, you know, we should stop living in the past, and you know, we can't be living in the past, obviously. We need to not forget it. Right? Stop pushing the stop talking about the Holocaust and all that and talk about our history. We have a great history. A woman invented the flushing toilet. A woman invented the ironing board. A Barbadian, a black Barbadian, is who made the internet accessible for us today that we can use it for.
And that's what you're saying, we should be teaching alongside with the accomplishments. Like I said earlier, you just can't teach history and the whole Kunta Kinte and roots and leave it at that.
You know what I mean? You got to teach them.
Right. And that's white talking about exactly what you're saying. There are so many accomplishments. There's even someone here saying that they get really annoyed. And I agree with them when they hear some people talking about black people don't come together and build financial institutions. Yes, they come together in the form of the credit union by putting the money there and become owners and shareholders. But there's no real direct benefit because the credit unions don't lend you money, as far as I know, for businesses. They lend you money to maybe a home and a car and school things and whatever. The credit unions, as far as I know, and Dennis can correct me, credit unions don't lend. You can't send a business proposal to the credit union. There's no business account at the credit union. So it kind of ends there with you as a shareholder. So yes, there's $2 billion in the credit union movement, but tell me how the black people are benefiting outside of maybe telling them come and get money to buy a car, which depreciates. But by the way, I want to say, I don't want to say who you are, but I want to thank you for and you would know what I mean.
That's all right.
Thank you so much. It was just right. drawn to my attention as to who you are. And I can't wait. And people may be wondering what it is that we're talking about, but that's for me to know and them to find out.
Huh? Most people know who you're talking to.
Okay, well, I want to thank you.
You see, that's okay, man. You see my business? Mm-hmm. My business, I built my business from scratch. My aunt gave me a couple of dollars. My wife gave me a couple of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and along the way, you know, some friends came and pitching here and there because they say, you know, this is something that we need. You know, and it's so difficult because when I bought my van, it's all a lot of money, and I bought my van. And people were more focused on me buying a van and, you know, my other little toys. You know, the more focused on them than me building a business. And then I said this before, I had to work a whole lot harder to even make any kind of money. The only way that we could support the community is if you support us. When you spend money with us and we making money and we have me making a profit and everything and the things going on in the community, we can support it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go supporting, when you go supporting the other people, I ain't saying you're not supposed to spend money with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, spend money with them. Let me tell you something, right? Up to yesterday, an Indian man came up to me. He said, "I got a fantastic idea for you. It's only if you're a listening man I will give it to you." I said, "Yeah, talk to me." When he told me that, I came home and it was quiet all evening. It was just going through my head. How this man just came to me and gave me a profitable idea. White folks has come down my business and has given me profitable ideas. Profitable ideas. My own brothers and sisters has hurt me. My staff has looked at me and said, "I don't know how you just do this." People that will come to me and say, "Hey, you know, we are God give me. You're just about fine, you got money."
Yeah. But that's the thing, they look at you and they think, I don't even know if it's this white and black issue as here as much as it is
We were racist in Barbados. You don't get tired with it.
Class. I think it may be like class. I think
the way how we talk about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's a big black ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And you from the time you can identify some person as that, you are racist.
Well, what about women? Let me just read this to you. Somebody says here, "Joanne, I live in New York and I love all VOB programs, including Brass Tacks. Sally, I have observed that some callers are very disrespectful to the female moderators. This bothers me deeply. Bajans joining to protest inequity, etc. But they're really more concerned about how myself," and I speak on behalf of Lisa. Yes, there are some very disrespectful contributors, if you want to call them that, because they don't always call you. They send messages on the WhatsApp, and then when you look at the history of when they sent the other message was when maybe the other female moderator was on. But I guess I should respond and say, look, get used to it. There's a woman in charge of this country. There are women in charge of many things worldwide. And if they feel aggrieved by it, I would just say, according to the words of another former prime minister, if you don't, you know, like it, lump it. We're here and we're here to stay. So I want to thank you and double thank you. And one for your contribution, and thank you for the other contribution that you would have made. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joya. It's Hammy Dog calling.
Hi, Hammy. How are you?
I am sitting on the dock of the bay as usual. But Joya, what I call about is a very serious matter in relation to understanding our history and our development and the institution of the civic friendly society that played a tremendous role in the lives of poor people and particularly black people, so to speak. In fact, the Civic Friendly Society had a membership of over 48,000 poor people in Barbados. And what was amazing about this, the Civic Friendly Society, was the fact that it offered yearly bonuses to poor people. If you contributed from 5 cents a week, 10 cents a week, 15 cents a week, 25, right up to a dollar. And at the end of the year, you could have received a bonus. It also give you the added facility of credit at the store. They also offer poor people scholarships, funeral grants, wedding grants, educational grants. And, of course, there was a specific day in the annals of Barbadian history that was known as Civic Day. The Civic Day was celebrated on January 1st. January 1st meant a lot to poor black people in Barbados. But, of course, that has now been non-existent, and I'm calling that January 1st be recognized again as Civic Day. You cannot talk about the history of the credit union movement in Barbados and the national insurance without talking about referring to the precursor of these modern-day institutions, because the civic-friendly society, in my view, because of the makeup of the civic and its, and what its policy matrix was, to look after the disenfranchised and the marginalized, saw the credit union movement coming out of it with the same direct principle, and also the national insurance, which offered its members benefits like funeral benefits and other grants. So I'm saying that institution, which was headed primarily by black people, located at the corner of High Street and Swan Street, that January 1st should still be recognized as Civic Day, which immortalizes the effort of black businessmen headed by C.B. Lane, Ernest Dighton Motley, and others. But, of course, we need to recognize those pioneers of what they call the socialist business movement in Barbados at the time when Annie Wilson, E.D. Watkins, and others had flourished. So it is my take is that we keep forgetting our past. And if our children and our children's children is to remember our history, rather than we thought just boldly and idly, we have to go back to our history. That institution, it was Darcy Scott. He also had the community society, which gave tremendous benefits to poor black people. And I want to say that. Have a listening to the conversation, the entire morning of your program. I believe you're doing, and I know you're doing a good job in terms of moderating. But of course, we really have to look back in a serious way at the beginning, Joanne.
Well, I agree to look back in the beginning, but I'm still looking at what we could do today. I think, and I don't know if you agree with me, Hammy, right now, whether you believe in God or not, or whatever you want to call him, Jehovah, Allah, or whatever, something greater than us, is kind of working. And when you look at a coronavirus where, unfortunately, yes, lives have been lost, but look at all of the good things that are coming out of it. And then the other pandemic, because that's one pandemic, the other pandemic is racism, really and truly, the 400 years plus. no vaccine for it to date. However, this particular incident has sparked to me something that is different to all of the others, because it's happening alongside, there's like two pandemics clashing, the two perfect storms. And those people who said that change can't happen overnight, I am actually feeling it happening overnight. My life has changed and everybody else's has changed because of a pandemic. You're trying to tell me no with this, with the death of George Floyd, which this is not really about George anymore. This is bigger than George. I can feel there's a wind blowing in a different direction. And I feel that this is the start of the revolution, if you want to call it that. That black people may now see some sort of ease in terms of how things are done. But then there's police brutality, which has nothing to do with racism. There's those things that are happening. And people just getting together and giving each other. To me, this is the way the world is like. It's almost like a rebirth. And those who don't see it, I don't know. I am feeling it. I could see it. Something good is coming out of all of what is happening.
Joanne seems to be an agent that has a young lady that has ESP powers, extrasensory perception, because there's this feeling, like refer to people, of a, what they call a fresh wind blowing through the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And it's all, in my view, it is positive. The reason why I'm saying that, because you mentioned what could happen from here. We're talking about black enfranchisement. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a new revolution blowing in terms of a new socialist dimension. Cooperative systems have to be put in place. In fact, how I see it, some people might take an offense to it, but I see the diminishing of the capitalist system to one more of a socialist system. Mm-hmm. There's this strange wind blowing across a corporation across the world.
Yep.
So I am in agreement with you 100%. It's now how we package it, how we have that vision now to pull things in together in this new era, this new revolution that is being created by forces unknown to us, which I prefer to, like you, to call, to be directed by God.
Correct.
I really believe that, because I'm sitting back watching it unfold.
Watching it, exactly.
My own eyes and being part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a revolution that is going on that I've never took place in the history of planet Earth. We know about the bubonic plague. We know about the socialist revolution in China, in Russia, in the French Revolution. But never in the history of planet Earth and mankind have we witnessed in one human being lifetime
two pandemics at the same time. I want to thank you, Hamiu. You know, continue to stay safe out there, my brother. All right?
Okay. Thank you, Joanne.
Take care. Well, it's true. There's two pandemics on worldwide happening, and I can see a lot of positive coming out of it, and I'm hoping that we can turn the frown upside down. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 146, heading home. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, Ms. Haig, earlier I heard you say that credit unions do not lend money for business, and it's quite misleading. Right? And erroneous. Right? I'm involved in credit union movement, and credit unions lend money for micro, commercial, and business loans. And this has been going on for quite a while. So I don't know why you will form the opinion that credit unions don't lend.
Well, I can only tell you what I had asked the credit union in terms of setting up a business account at the credit union with a checkbook, like how the banks function, and I was told we do not do that. So but if I was wrong, if it was only because of what I was told, but I'll listen out.
But let me verify that.
Verify it.
An account, a corporate account with a credit union. What the credit union is not allowed by law is to have checking accounts. And we are now working on that. And as you know, checking accounts is going out of style. Right?
But I said that based on experience when I would have rather secured if you're setting up a business, deal with the credit union, but was told that we don't do that in the sense of having the checking account and so on and so forth, which then throws people now to go and deal with the banks.
Yes, but I accept that.
I wasn't offered another option, sir. So I can only go from my and I'm actually only going from my experience, I should say.
Yeah, but you should have said that. You should have said
well, I'm saying it now, and it's not too late to say it. So,
right. But if you should go to Barbados Workers Union website, and you will see the types of loans that we lend for business.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, right. So the transactions of paying wages and paying the rent for the entity and taxes, and it's strictly electronic then? Transfers of money?
As I said to you, there are certain transactions that we can't make by law, because we are governed by certain laws on the FSC.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We are now working towards joining up with the ACH.
Mm-hmm.
We will be able to do much more.
Okay, well then please answer the question that I've asked so that I can help other people understand who may want to start a business. When you start a business, especially if you incorporate the business and you have certain things to do, wages, you want to run everything straight in the books. You got your wages, you got your rent, your light, all these different expenses that most people either do it electronically and pay or they write checks. Can you offer that? Because you said I was misleading, which means that the person who told me was misleading me. Now, if you can't do that, how does a business then function with a credit union in its entirety?
No, we're talking apples. Let's talk apples and apples. You said on the program, that credit unions do not lend money for business, and that's what I'm dealing with. I'm not talking about the transactions that you will have to do in terms of paying staff and things like that. You said credit unions do not lend for business, and that is erroneous.
But, sir, if you're conducting a business, more than likely, unless... It could be like my friend, the Fishgate Man. It may be a one-man show. You may be the only person. But if you incorporate a business, a company, okay, a business, you have expenses. Can you function and pay your expenses through the credit union?
I want you to create the fact that you say credit unions do not lend for business. Right?
But then define business then, because if what kind of business then do they lend? Because if you incorporate your business, if you got any business and you have staff and you have...
We lend for startup capital, control expenses, to raise funds, maintain and control your business. Can you lend for that? Right?
Sorry, say that again, sir, for those who... Because someone is here telling me only the city of Bridgetown does what this gentleman is talking about.
That person is saying that out of ignorance. I'm speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Barbados Workers Union Credit Union website.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We clearly set out. We do for startup capital, control expenses, raising funds, maintain control of your business for smart micro packages. Right? If you need extra funds, if you need to purchase stock or equipment, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have one for a business credit facility. 7,500 loans, business loans, still to meet your needs. Secure loans is $25,000.
But okay, is it safe to say that you don't support all of the functions though of a business, but you are going in that direction? You have some, which you indicated, but you're working then towards broadening what your services can offer as it relates to business. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So I am not incorrect by stating they don't really deal with businesses to the extent that I was talking to. I just, well, I would
you
say this, sir, with all due respect, give me a sec. Now that you brought to my attention what you do, I was referring to a business in the sense of how a business functions with staff, expenses, being able to either lodge the money, upload the money, write checks, all of those functions that people would have to do when they have a business that is incorporated and have staff. The credit union does not support every function in a business. Would that be correct to say?
That is correct to say, but for you to say that they do not...
But what I'm trying to tell you is, it's okay, I'm trying to pull it back. I'm not... Why are you sticking to what I said when I'm trying to correct it?
Because you misled the whole...
But if I misled the people, we are here trying to put them on the right track together. I said A, I meant A, business, in terms of how businesses run on a bigger scale, etc. You came in and you explained what it is, and I can't disagree with you, because if you're part of the credit union, you're correcting what it is that you do, but I'm still not in the wrong by stating you do not support every aspect of a business. But I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is what I meant, and I'm not taking it back what I meant. I meant it in the terms of a business on a broader scale with its expenses. And you're saying we can do certain things, Ms. Haig. So instead of you coming and saying, Ms. Haig, what you said may not be entirely accurate.
Let me help you.
No, hold on a minute. It's not about help right now. I am not disagreeing with you. All I'm just saying is you just admitted that you do, but there are certain things that you don't. The law does not allow you to, and we're good. But we are good.
This is what you said, right? And I'm going to repeat it because you're making me...
I am correcting what, sir, but no. We got to hold on. You hold on.
Yeah.
If somebody says, hey, you mean to tell them, you can't give them a second here to tell you, explain to you what it is that they meant.
No.
You then can't use good applied sense to say, okay, I understand what you meant, but here's what we support, X, Y, Z. And I go, okay, you support X, Y, Z, but you don't do A, B, C. And we're good. You explain that.
Hey, let me go back to what you say. You said credit unions do not lend for business loans. They will lend for a car, right, that will depreciate, but they do not lend for business. So you should listen back to what you're saying. Right?
But no, I'm not this. But does he think I'm not saying that? I didn't say that. But I'm trying to expand on what I meant. So that's why I'm not pulling it back. I'm expanding on what I meant.
You should have expanded it when you went.
But sir, when you know better, you do better. So if you're educating me, no. And I'm trying to explain this to you. It's almost like you want blood from a rock. I'm not sure what it is that you want to prove. You come, you bring your position. I'm saying I am not changing what I said, but I will expand what I meant. All you have to do then is to state what you said. You know, comprehension is a funny thing.
And then you went on to say about the $2 billion.
I went on to read what a person from a WhatsApper said about the black people should not complain because of what the value is in terms of the assets with the credit union and who are the shareholders with the black people, et cetera, et cetera. Then I pull it back and say, but that's with cars and certain things. And then you come and you say what you said. I am not taken away from it. I just expanded on what I meant. You then added what it should be. And I'm not pulling back on what I said about a business. I just expanding on what I really meant. Can we agree on that?
I am saying by my point that you misled the whole country.
Okay? Oh, dear Lord. Okay. Comprehension. Okay. All right. Next. We have one more caller because I don't understand that. You're on the air, Brass Stacks.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. Tolerance. I just want to say, because I don't have much time.
No, unfortunately.
And, I believe that the gentleman might be able to explain this matter because he's involved in the credit union. Same gentleman as he spoke about it. I do think it's fair that a credit union member should have a matter in court for more than 20 years. I had suggested at the time when I was involved that what we should do is move to a position of an arbiter. And then if it's unsettled, then you move to the next level. Because sometimes these things are cumbersome in terms of cash and getting representative, legal representative, and so on, to fight on your behalf and indeed fighting against an institution that will have so much money at their disposal. There's one quick point I want to go quickly to what Mr. Johnson said about the 250. What I see there, when I heard the Prime Minister made a proposal of the interest of buying the bonds, and which you would earn a 5% interest at the end of 4 years, was that there was an opportunity for someone who would have a lot of money, especially if you know that they're going to invest into capital works project and infrastructure. Then if you're a person representing for a road building, a company, you should be happy to see the central bank as a broker for you, then buying the bonds, because then you're using your money to actually invest so that money will come towards your business on which you would make profit. So that it's a case of you benefiting in two ways. You know, you benefit in terms of the interest that you would gain on the money that you would have bought the bonds on.
We're going to have to wrap up. I'm so sorry. You didn't get in earlier. Someone here, former president, they're saying of the BWCCUL, wouldn't say his name, is misleading the public. This person is now there and said that they should know. Other people are saying that one person is saying the caller is correct. Other people are saying the caller is incorrect and that he is not giving the right information. Someone from the credit union is messaging saying that he's not giving the correct information. So maybe next time when we gather, we can continue that conversation or maybe with another moderator. Until then, continue to stay safe. I'm Joanne Haig. Until God bless.